This is a podcast from Minute Media.
So then I said, what even are walking shorts? Oh, hey, everybody. Sorry about that. This is Take the Black, the weekly show where myself and Daniel Roman, both editors supreme of wintersconcoming.net, talk all things sci-fi, fantasy, space lasers, dinosaurs, wizards, dragons, all that kind of crap. And we are here today with you to give our opinions on things. Daniel, how are you doing?
Yes. I am doing, you know, I'm a little frazzled today, a little more frazzled than usual. we had plans for this show, and then the news cycle caught up with us and totally changed all our plans about like 3 hours ago. So I'm doing great because, you know, there's exciting stuff afoot, but it feels like it's been a mad rush of an afternoon.
It had.
How about just so you? How are you today?
I feel pretty good. I feel like a solid 7.5. Hey, Christian. Hey, John. As John says, I have, because I agree, the flyaways gave your frazzle away. Looking it's a bit true. Disheveled there, Daniel.
Was it?
You know what? We have to this earn
was
our
it, or was it intentional? It's
He's
true.
He's trying a new thing, everybody. He's trying a new thing. But yeah,
that's right.
We actually had a whole different show planned for you that we'll probably save for another day because it's more evergreen. But then there's a thing called CinemaCon on, where a lot of movie studios, TV studios, streamers come to announce their new wares, to talk to them, to just kind of reveal them to industry types. I'm sorry, Daniel, I didn't want you to feel self-conscious, but if you want to push that strain back, that's just that is your option.
Yeah. It's for Julie. I did it for Julie, so I look less disheveled. So we're good.
Cool.
CinemaCon. What's the deal? CinemaCon, what's it about?
So CinemaCon is this yearly event, I guess. I don't really know about it. Where, you know, studios and streamers come to talk to industry insiders, theater chain owners, executives in the movie biz, and just kind of reveal what they have coming up. And just the press of news from that was so huge that we just said, let's just put this thing that we were going to talk about on hold and do that later. And basically, I think this episode is going to be one giant lightning round. It's going to be us just shotgunning a lot of the news coming out of this event. And we're going to give you all our opinions. We're going to ask your opinions. We're going to have a dialogue about what's going on in the world of entertainment, TV, movies, and all that. And Julie, I'm sorry about your car, and we'll try to entertain you for as long as we can. Okay, so here is some of the hot breaking TV movie nerdy news coming out of CinemaCon. Daniel, I'll just start. And this is not an official lightning round. There's no limit on this time. Just going to be like
there's
a
no
rapid
buzzer.
Fire. No, there's no buzzer until later. There's just going to be a lightning round like. Okay, so first up, Daniel, do you care about Avatar, the movie full of tall blue aliens and Sigourney Weaver, who can survive her magic tree death? Are you into Avatar? Did you watch Avatar?
So I can't lie. I hear the humor in your voice, and I can't lie. I kind of love Avatar. It might be, it's one of my top five favorite movies of all time. So, which I don't know what the other four are, but I know Avatar would be in there.
Sure.
I'm old enough that I remember when the original one came out in theaters and it was very exciting. I went and saw it like four times with the glasses.
Damn.
Hey there, Lord Crackhead. I see you in the chat. Yeah. So I'm very excited about Avatar, and we got some news about it today, which it's almost hard to totally trust Avatar news, because like this sequel to the Avatar movie has been in the works since like 2009, and it is now 2022. So yeah, I mean, the big news here is they showed the first footage from Avatar 2. It is called Avatar: The Way of Water. I think that's some concept art that we have up there in the background. Apparently,
we
got to
do
very,
what we can do. Yeah, it's supposed to be gorgeous.
Are you excited
for this?
The
Way of Water. I mean, sure. I mean, I saw it once. I didn't see it four times. To quote my favorite, to quote 30 Rock, I don't care what they say. I keep them 3D glasses. So I'll be doing that definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to toss those out. Those are valuable. I mean, not particularly. I feel like it's sort of this weird series where there's a huge push behind it. They're going to make 4 movies, and they're going to re-release the first movie in September to get us all hyped up for this December Avatar 2 release. They're really going hard. It's going to be 3D again. They're going to release it in all kinds of different formats, so as many folks on the planet can see it as possible. I wonder if the sequel can, because I feel like the first one rode this hype of 3D is the next big game changer technology that it was not. And I wonder if 2 will be able to equal that. But sure, I'll see it.
Okay.
I'm not crazy excited about it. But yeah, blue is a good color. I don't mind it at all. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay, so let me hit you with a counterpoint here. Mm-hmm. So Avatar, I would say it didn't only ride that 3D, the 3D hype train. It actually is the movie that really started it.
Oh, definitely.
So when it came out, it's still like, I feel like other studios were like, yeah, look at Avatar doing 3D. We need to do that. That's a good draw. We charge whatever, $3 more per movie ticket. But I personally have never seen another movie since Avatar that actually pulled off the 3D the way that Avatar did.
Yeah,
like it was very obvious.
Because...
yeah, the movie was made to be told in a three-dimensional storytelling way.
Yeah, and there was a craze afterwards and it petered out. So I feel like it started the 3D craze, and the 3D craze finished sometime like in 2012.
Yeah. We all realize BTX is better and it doesn't give you headaches. But I think it's a fair question. Can the 3D still be as wondrous in 2022 as it was in 2009? I think it has a lot. I mean, it's got like 12 years of hype to live up to. So I'll get more excited when we get to see the footage, which the footage is apparently supposed to be attached to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So the first trailer will be attached to that movie, and then it's supposed to surface online like a week later. So in the next week or two, we should be able to see it and judge for ourselves.
Yeah. In terms of hype, I give it a 6. And as our favorite YouTube commenter, Lord Crack at 33 says, I still have mine too. I keep them 3D glasses. All right. Shall we? Okay. So next story on the list. Okay. Kevin Feige. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I want to hear you talk about this one. So I'm going to pitch it your way.
All right.
Kevin Feige, the Marvel Cinematic Universe mastermind, says the MCU has stuff planned through 2032. And he was heading straight from CinemaCon to a creative retreat to work on planning the next 10 years of Marvel stuff. And Dan, I know you love the Marvel stuff. How do you feel about this announcement?
I don't know when I became like the grouch in my life, like the grouchiest person I knew, but it happened at some point. I'm not surprised. I mean, of course, of course they're going to plan 10 years in advance for Marvel movies. Of course, they're going to go to that retreat and plan, you know, Black Panther 5, Wakanda sometimes. Like, of course, they're going to, nice. You know, plan Captain Marvel 7. I don't have a pun for that one. I'm not surprised. They're always good. I've talked about Marvel so much. I feel like I don't have much to really add. Not surprising. Good for them.
Yeah.
Make that money, Kevin Feige. Put Guardians of the Galaxy 4 in 3D. That could be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised either. I kind of figured they already had way far out after Phase 4 planned anyway, because like the last Phase 4 movie that is technically slated is Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which is late 2023, I think. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's already next year. And they announced that back in like 2020. So they're due to announce a bunch of other stuff. I think obviously if they don't do it this year, they're going to do it next year, announce whatever Phase 5 through 7 or who knows what. We'll hear more. But yeah, I'm not too surprised by that. I mean, they basically, Marvel's got us now, guys. Marvel, they're going to be making movies for our grandchildren's grandchildren, and no one gets a say. That's the reality we live in.
I wonder, do you think they can run out of material eventually? I mean, there are a finite number of Marvel comics in existence. Eventually, they will at least run out of good ones, because there's a lot of chaff in comics. Yes. And then by the time of our grandparents' grandchildren's grandchildren, they might run out of them, period. Oh, terrifying.
They might.
Thought.
I mean, I guess the question will be, can then they'll be into a race of can the comics keep up? Can we keep making comics so we can keep making comic book movies? Because which they're already, I don't want to say they're already there. There's, you know, there's like 50 years of comics for them to draw from. There's plenty of stuff they haven't tapped yet, but they are doing a lot of movies and shows based on characters made in the past 10 years. So I do think,
or obscure that ones, will prove Moon Knight.
Prophetic. Hey, Moon Knight's awesome. Okay,
I like Moon Knight, but it's no, like it's not.
He's
like,
pretty obscure.
Yeah, he's got to be like, you know, top 500 greatest superheroes ever. As MC, yeah. As John says, MC takes on the Iliad. Is that Marvel? Sure. You know, Marvel has probably done an Iliad comic at some point. And as Julie says, there won't be movies then. Ooh, how intriguing, Julie. Do you think there will be some kind of replacement, or do you think society will have crumbled and we'll all be going back to puppet shows on the cave walls? Either way, I'm here for it. All right. Daniel, speaking of superheroes and Marvel crap and all that stuff, they showed off a sizzle reel for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Black Panther 2, where we got Nakia, Shuri, and Okoye all on the front line. It looked like a major battle. Excited for Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I loved the first Black Panther. I think of the, so it's sad, obviously, because of what happened with Chadwick Boseman, who played Prince King T'Challa. He passed away. It's been an interesting movie to kind of watch the production cycle on, because obviously they weren't planning for that. They kind of had to presumably reorder the whole movie. I think, you know, because Black Panther as well was, do you remember if it won an Oscar? It either won an Oscar or it was nominated for an Oscar.
It was definitely nominated. I don't think it won. It didn't win Best Picture, but it was nominated.
Yeah,
for it.
So it was the first Marvel MCU movie to be nominated for an Oscar. And I think because of that, because of what happened with Chadwick Boseman, there's kind of been this extra pressure of like, can they possibly follow up how good Black Panther was? I'm hopeful they can. But yeah, we'll see. I'm excited for it. How about you? Are you looking forward to that one?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm so sorry about the lack of enthusiasm. I'm looking forward to it as much as I am any Marvel movie, which is to say,
yeah,
some. John is asking,
fair.
You're freaking me out. Are you okay with you Psydine and Intruder? I'm sorry, John. I don't mean to look around. If I am, I assure you it's accidental. There's certainly no one here making me do this right off screen. And as Julie says, people will be their own movies. They'll be interacting in them themselves. Hey, virtual reality stuff. Okay, I like it, Julie. It's a cool-ass future.
Yeah.
All right, what is next on the CinemaCon agenda? All right, here is a big freaking shocker.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone acts surprised. Is happening. Yeah, everyone acts surprised. Everyone just, like, take a seat. You're going to want to be seated for this one. And then when I tell you, you're going to continue want to be seated. They're making the Batman 2. Robert Pattinson is in it. Matt Reeves is directing. The only weird thing about that is that it took this long to announce it.
Yeah, totally. That was kind of like a given, right? Like, we all knew it was coming. That's one of those things where it's like, ooh, yay, we can now say this is officially happening, but no one is surprised. And yeah, I think the most curious thing for me about the Batman 2 is how the HBO Max shows are going to fit into that. Are they going to make it one continuous universe with the Penguin spinoff and the Arkham Asylum spinoff? Are those going to be before the Batman? Are they going to be between the movies? I'm kind of curious how much creative input Matt Reeves is going to have on like the overall Batman cinematic universe they're doing.
You never know, right? Because those cinematic universes have to, you know, they have to be entertaining, but they also have to kind of check the boxes, and Feige is the master of that, where he kind of just like puts the puzzle pieces just so. So I'm sure it'll be an evolving compromise, and the chief best quality will not be creativity, but flexibility, which is a kind of creativity. Yes. So I respect it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Good for it. Rock on.
Got to be able to adjust on the fly with these things.
Okay. Our last superhero thing until like literally two later. they also showed, you know, like new trailers for The Flash, for Aquaman 2, for Shazam 2, for Black Adam. Black Adam being the one where Dwayne The Rock Johnson is, you know, another dark, gritty anti-hero. And the one guy's like, heroes don't kill people. And he's like, I do. Only he'll say more like The Rock. Okay. If you had to name any of those, like, which one of those are you most excited for? That was The Flash, Aquaman 2, Shazam 2, and Black Adam. Because I'm not talking about all four.
Okay. If I have, I can't lie. I'm not that excited for any of them. If I have to pick one, maybe Aquaman, just because Jason Momoa is awesome and he's always entertaining.
Sure.
The Flash, I think, is the most, you know, The Flash is going to be I'll be shocked if it's not the biggest of those, because they're bringing back Michael Keaton. It's Ben Affleck's Bat Song. So,
and Ezra Miller's a mess.
Oh yeah, that's right. So that one's got, it's got the force of cultural momentum behind it. But yeah, maybe Aquaman for me. How about you?
Probably The Flash, just because, I'm not chomping at the bit to see any of them, but the Flash, sure. Michael Keaton is Batman. I'm looking forward to all the Ezra Miller discourse. That'll be fun.
Yeah, unavoidable.
Unavoidable. All right. Let's see.
I think there's one fun thing with those. You know, since we were just talking about the Batman and like the cinematic universes, so apparently in the Shazam trailer that they showed at CinemaCon, he's on a date with Wonder Woman, but it doesn't show her face. So it's obviously not Gal Gadot. It's someone standing in for Wonder Woman. And I feel like that's kind of what Peacemaker pulled there near the end of its series. Even though they did have Jason Momoa and Ezra Miller show up, they still had like stand-ins for Superman and Wonder Woman. And I kind of wonder if that like Easter egg, almost kind of ridiculous nods to the other heroes, is the way that DC is looking to go more to make things feel interconnected.
Oh yeah, but sure. It's definitely not a lack of organization and inability to coordinate schedules and get actors who actually want to have on screen. It's an artistic choice.
It's a long-term strategy for success. They can't pay Gal Gadot to stop by every time they want a cameo. She's busy.
Never attribute to maliciousness what can be adequately explained by incompetence. It is a motto to live by. And it also applies to this. She's not there because I just couldn't get her. It didn't work out. And things work out because they're not good.
All right.
Because they're not Marvel.
Yeah. Touche.
And Julie is gone. See what happens. Thank you, Julie. We always loved having you around. And as Christian says, they're all DC. So I'm not looking forward to any of them, which, you know, fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Now, here's one. Here's the first look at Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn. So we're barely getting away from superheroes as Barbie in the Barbie movie. She's a Barbie girl in a Barbie world in a little pink car and a little blonde hair. Oh, I'll ask you this question. Why did you put this on here?
Well, because she plays Harley Quinn.
Okay.
So
okay,
I figured it's fair game to at least say this is a thing that's happening. And I just think the casting's kind of hilarious, like, because they cast Harley Quinn as Barbie. Like, I'm hoping that means they have I'm not going to see this movie, obviously. But they'll have some kind of commentary. I don't know what. I can't decide if it's terrifying or not. So there you go. Have fun wondering about that, there, faithful watchers.
I'll just say it. I'm more interested in this than I am in any of that DC stuff. 100%. I'll see about the movie. I liked the director did the Little Women movie. Did the Little Women movie that I liked a lot. Ah, that was good.
I didn't realize
that. Margot Robbie is just very, very good. I mean, I think she looks
cute.
She's like a small blonde woman. Of course she can play Barbie. Why not? And
she's gonna be great.
The popular small blonde woman of the moment, who's had like all the parts in the past several years. Did you see her in I, Tonya? She was fantastic as Tonya Harding. She was really, really good. She's good in general. I'll watch her in anything.
Yeah, she's going to be good no matter what she's in. Right? Totally. There's like no doubt she's one of those actors where it's like, okay, she's in it. At least there will be good acting.
I'll see that. Kind of like Oscar Isaac. Flash. Yes, kind of like Oscar. Damn, that guy's good. As Astia Azadebe says, we should consider doing an Instagram live stream. Not a bad idea. We will look into expansion, Astia. I appreciate it. And yeah, some love from Margot Robbie in the chat. Why not? Margot Robbie's great.
She's great fun. She's going to be good in it. All right. So here's another one. We didn't really get away from superheroes. We will just a tiny bit at some point, but hey, that's where things are at in the industry right now, I guess. So Across the Spider-Verse Part 2 is now called Beyond the Spider-Verse, and it's due out in the spring of 2024. They showed the first like 20 minutes of Across the Spider-Verse Part 1 at this and announced this title change. So how do you feel about the whole Spider-Verse stuff, Dan?
I liked the first movie. I feel like I would like it a little more if it were an original movie. I don't know. I've just heard of superheroes. But yeah, it was good. I don't like that they're doing a two-part thing. We'll get to that a little later. I feel like people reflexively do that. Whenever I hear you're splitting a movie into two parts, my thought immediately is, I'm shell-shocked from The Hobbit still all these years later. I just assume it's a bad call and you're doing it for money. I'm sure it'll be good. The first one's really good. And Phil Lord, Christopher Miller are good. But again, it's like, it's I don't know. It's a superhero thing. I'm sure it'll be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with you about the two-part thing. I feel like once in a very great while, I'm like, okay, I can understand
Dune,
why.
It
like,
kind of made sense.
I can understand
that one, maybe.
Why you did this. But even Dune, it was great, but it fundamentally changes something about like the arc of the story to split it in half like that. So like, that was kind of my issue with the Hunger Games movie. They split the last book into two movies and it felt like one was all build up, one was all climax. So I hope that the Spider-Verse, I hope they have a actual plan that makes it feel like two movies instead of they couldn't fit it in one. So here you go. Apparently there's something like 450. There's some crazy number of animated characters in this movie compared to like 40 that were in the original movie. So it sounds like they upped everything quite a lot.
Cool. We'll watch it. It was a good movie.
It was. It one of the better Spider-Man movies, for sure.
I agree with that. We will get away with superheroes eventually, I swear to you. There's new Venom and there's new Ghostbusters on the way. Are you bored? Are you excited, Daniel? More Venom, more Ghostbusters.
I'm one of those two words. I'll leave it up to anyone to guess which one. I enjoyed Venom. I'm a huge Venom stan. I've always loved Venom from the comics.
He's goo.
I expected to hate the first Venom movie because I was really biased against Sony's like villain universe because it just seems dumb to me.
Can't imagine why.
But I really enjoyed the first Venom. I thought it was great. And the second one, I didn't like quite as much, but enough that I would give it a chance. I'll definitely watch it. I think Tom Hardy that's a role where it's like, you're doing the best job anyone's done. Like, we only have Topher Grace to compare him to from Spider-Man 3, but he's doing a really great job as Eddie Brock in Venom. Ghostbusters, yeah. I could really care less. How about, what are your thoughts on these?
Whatever to both. Christian has a good point. Yeah, I did think that Avengers Endgame, Infinity War and Endgame, that felt right, because those are both two full movies.
Oh, yeah.
So it's had like rising action and then climax. That felt fine. Also, I don't know if it was just me. I didn't realize they were going to be like a proper part one, part two until I watched it. Although maybe I was supposed to.
That must have been crazy.
That was nuts. To me, the high point of the entire MCU is everyone dying at the end of Infinity War. That was some good stuff.
Yeah.
Only marred slightly by the fact that we all knew it wouldn't last. But other than that, aces.
Yeah. I think that's the perfect example of when a part one and part two is totally justify, like they feel like different movies.
Yes, they do. As John asks, what cinematic body could ban Ghostbusters? I mean, the first one's a good movie. I don't know. I feel like the more everything after the first one hasn't really excited me that much. But you know, it's funny. Cats and dogs living together. It's a good movie. There's one more superhero thing, and then we're done. I swear. Daniel. Bad Bunny will star as El Muerto in the next of Sony's Spider-Man villain movies. How big a fan of Bad Bunny are you? And how much are you looking forward to him as a superhero, anti-hero, El Muerto? You know that he's like an anti-hero. He's like a greedy anti-hero who kind of is out in his own and doesn't play by rules.
Yeah.
Have we seen that before? Is that new? I feel like we haven't seen that before.
We definitely haven't talked about any of those, not even on this podcast, for sure. Totally original. To start, I did not know who Bad Bunny was. I'll be straight about that. So that I'm being introduced to him through this. It seems like he's good in Bullet Train, which is the other movie that he has coming up with Brad Pitt. heard good things about that from the people who saw a glimpse of it at CinemaCon. I wish I could have a conversation with whoever makes the calls at Sony about which of Spider-Man's villains they are deciding to do movies for. Cause like Venom, totally get it. Sure. Like Venom is one of Spider-Man's biggest villains. Yeah. Venom has had his own comics at times. Like it's super justifiable to give Venom his own movies. Morbius and El Muerto. Like I don't understand. Spider-Man has such a huge rogues gallery. This is going to turn into a rant. We can stop me at any point.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. I'll just sit back. Just go ahead. Wow. Yeah. Well, who would you choose then? If you were in charge of Sony and you had to make a Spider-Man movie, who would you pick?
I mean, they've already done a lot of good ones in the traditional movies. So like Doc Ock is an obvious one, but they've already done it. So I can understand why they didn't. I would love to see them do someone like Scorpion, who they had show up in Spider-Man Homecoming, but we never saw him actually become Scorpion. Mac Gargan is the character's name. He has a really cool backstory where J. Jonah Jameson, who runs the Daily Bugle, basically enlists him to help foil Spider-Man. So he gets him the Scorpion suit. I'm not saying that's the best one. Yeah, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I think Kraven is not a bad choice. Well, although, again, it's hard to picture
what they are doing.
They are doing that. It's hard to picture what Kraven would look like without Spider-Man. I think, you know, I just for some reason like a lizard standalone movie popped in my head where he's like caring for all his baby lizards and stuff. Yeah, so I don't know off the top of my head. Now I'm going to think about this. This is going to turn into an article of what villains Sony should have done instead of El Muerto. Because I had never even heard of El Muerto, and I'm a big Spider-Man. Like,
nor had relatively you heard of Bad Bunny.
I'd heard of Bad Bunny, not for me, this movie.
I'd like heard the name because it was in some like commercial about credit cards, and the teenager was like, I want to see Bad Bunny, but I don't have the cash, but the credit card can help me. And I was like, it's a cool thing everyone's doing. But yeah, it's fine. Let's see. As John says, he thought Rhino was incoming. Would have loved to see Paul Giamatti in his own movie. And Lord Crackhead 33, best name in the business, says he's a big Tom Hardy fan, so he'll watch pretty much anything he's in. But yeah, I'm not chomping at the bit for more Venom. Taboo season 2, on the other hand, can't wait for. Yeah, Tom Hardy is good. I'm not saying Tom Hardy definitely has his talents. Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, I haven't seen the Venom movie, so I really can't talk much. Okay, final thing. It's not even superhero related. This is for you. Daniel, here's the first poster for John Wick, Chapter 4. Check it out. What do you think of that? Keanu Reeves, the gun. He's angry at you.
It's happening. Will he be avenging another dog? We'll find out. But either way, it's going to be fun.
Does he avenge a dog every movie?
No, it's really the first one. Although I'm pretty sure if I remember right, there is a dog in the second one, but it does not suffer the same fate. You know, the John Wick movies, I think the first one was my favorite, but they've never really been bad. Like, they're always still entertaining. It's going to be fun. And it's Keanu Reeves as a master assassin killing a bunch of people, and anytime anyone says his name, the room gets quiet. It's one of those movies. Are you going to watch that when it comes out?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of my the holes in my cinematic education. I really haven't watched the John Wick movies, even though everyone said they're wonderful, and I really should. I got to do it.
Yeah, they're definitely... I only watched them recently. They're definitely worth the time. Like, they're fun. They're fun movies, especially the first one. They don't take themselves too seriously.
Love that. Corey Smith, a Wick writer, when he reviewed John Wick 3, said it was the best movie ever created, sincerely. So they come highly recommended.
Okay. that's a stance. I don't know that I mean, we were talking about Avatar earlier, but yeah, no, that's fair. If I respect the opinion.
As John Zecker said, Wick's cat is dead. He's going to find the people responsible. I know you didn't always say people, John, but I'm trying to keep this PG-13. Yeah, that'd be fun. Oh
man.
Like every movie could kill a different pet. Like, his parakeet's dead, John Wick 5. His gerbil's dead, John Wick 6.
I mean, yeah, I guess that would become like, what's the next... Do you think that would cause problems? Like, would people stop going, they'd be like, oh, John Wick, that movie just kills pets every time.
It depends if they're good. I mean, if you kill John Wick's snake and he goes on a completely awesome rampage that I think is, you know, totally rock on hard and it's great, I'll see it, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he starts getting bigger and bigger animals so they won't be killed. Like by the end, he's like killing his Siberian tiger, but it still somehow managed to do it.
Not, or by the end, the Siberian tiger goes on a killing spree with him.
John Boom. Wick dies. And then John Wick's cat goes around. I was like clawing the eyes out of gangsters. That would also be great.
That's right.
This is wonderful.
Call us, movie studios. We've got you covered. I don't know who does John Wick, but they should listen to this episode.
Oh, wait, Craig asks, what are we worried about most in regards to the upcoming new show? Craig, what show do you mean? I'm going to guess you mean House of the Dragons. It's a Game of Thrones based podcast. But I think it's let me know and we can discuss it. I agree. That's a good movie. Yeah. I would watch that killer cat movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of what we would watch and what I haven't watched, what are we watching now that we're finally out of the news hole? And Craig says, duh. Well, I mean, Craig, we talk about a lot of different shows. We talk about a lot of different movies and TV shows on this podcast, but I get it.
Yeah.
And we got more stuff to cover, but let's give our 30-second opinions on that. I'm most worried that the show will just take the wrong approach to the material, I guess, and be written in a sloppy way that doesn't kind of impart the gravity that I want to see out of my dragon riding family tragedy war story. I mean, for it's bad. It's basically my answer to that.
Yeah.
How about you, Daniel?
That's fair. I think the thing I'm most worried about House of the Dragon is that the characters won't be as memorable as the characters from Game of Thrones. I think that is one of its biggest, to me, that feels like one of its can the Beesburys and whatever these other houses be as memorable as the Starks were in Game of Thrones? And I don't know the answer to that.
August 21st, we'll find out.
August 21st.
Okay. Daniel, what are you watching right now? And what are you, gentle viewers, watching at the moment? What TV shows, what movies, anything you want to talk about? Daniel, hit me.
Yeah, hit us up with it. It's CinemaCon, so it's been a lot of movie talk this week. I went to the movies this past weekend because it feels like this is one of the first really weekends in recent memory where there have been a bunch of really good movies headlining at the movie theaters, and none of them are superhero movies. Not one.
The Northman looks really good.
The Northman looks awesome. And I didn't realize it's Robert Eggers who did The Witch, which I loved The Witch.
The Lighthouse,
I thought that movie was fantastic. Yeah.
I saw The Lighthouse. It was very stark.
Yeah, that sounds right for his style. Very stark. So I did not see The Northman. Sorry, psych. I'm hopefully going to see it this weekend. There's also The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which is the Nicolas Cage movie where he plays himself. My goal is to see both of those movies before our next show. But the one I saw this weekend was Everything Everywhere All at Once, starring Michelle Yeoh. And it is hard to describe. It's like a mind-bending alternate reality, crazy act. It's just a crazy movie. She basically becomes aware of alternate realities she can link to with her mind to other versions of herself. And the creative, crazy things they thought to do about what realities might exist out there. Let's get really, really weird with it. Was just awesome. Her acting was fantastic. It had, I think her name is Stephanie Sue. She plays the girlfriend in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the girlfriend of Mitch, I think.
Yeah.
The ex-husband.
I'm talking about,
So she is Michelle Yeoh's daughter in the movie, and she was fantastic. And I almost the less you know going into it, the better. It's a weird movie, and it's way funnier than you would think.
That sounds great. That's like a great recommendation. As John says, someone told me they left that movie and felt like they had a soul cleanse. And we got some good stuff about the Northman here too. 10 times trippier than The Witch, a movie I liked.
Wow. Okay.
They do sound pretty good. And the great thing about them being three pretty big movies out and they're not superhero things, it does feel unique. It feels like it doesn't happen very often anymore. So I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice. I saw on Twitter, before the weekend, see Robert Cargill, who wrote Doctor Strange. He wrote the movie The Black Phone that's coming out. It was kind of like, if you ever complain about Hollywood not making things other than superhero movies, I challenge you to go see some of these movies that are out right now. And it is like, if you want to support these kind of movies being out, it's a good time to go see them.
God bless.
Everything Everywhere All at Once, that comment about it being like a soul cleanse, I would kind of second that. It's like, it's one of those movies that feels cosmic and epic, but really it's about a family. And it's about this family and if they can come back together. And yeah, it was just done in such a way that felt very poignant and really nice. So go see movies.
Into it. I had a friend who saw The Northman 3 times because of just the effect they had on him. So I haven't seen it yet, but it comes recommended. And I know that Nicole didn't love it. Not for everybody, but I like there's stuff out there. I watched the season premiere of Barry on HBO. That's the, I always forget if it's Bill Hader or John Hader. I think it's Bill Hader. The HBO Bill Hader. He's an assassin, but it's kind of like a dark comedy. Always really, really solid show. Was always really, really good. It's still really, really funny. Still really, really dark. Still really, really interesting. I'm into it. Have you ever watched Barry?
I haven't. It's one of those shows that I never even add to my like to watch list. But every single time I see a trailer, I'm like, I gotta watch Barry. That does look like it's a fun time. You would recommend.
It's fairly short too. Yes, I would. It's like half hour episodes too. So it is a solid, digestible. Good show. They got Henry Winkler in there in kind of the third role of a lifetime he's had over the path of his long, long career as kind of a bit of a washed up acting coach who gets mixed up in his life. It's just a really, really solid show. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking for a whole new season to look forward to. Anything else, Daniel, before we get on to our actual lightning round?
The only other, there are two other things that I've been watching. One is Severance on Apple TV Plus, which is a very crazy kind of trippy show. The premise of Severance is you go into work and it splits your mind. So the you that's at work doesn't remember anything from the you that's outside of work.
Cool.
And the you outside of work doesn't remember what you did at work. It stars Adam Scott, who was Ben Wyatt on Parks and Rec, and Patricia Arquette. It's pretty good so far. It's definitely attention grabbing. My partner was watching it. It's not something I actively sought out. It was just on the TV and I was like, ooh, I kind of can't look away from this.
Cool.
It feels tonally different than stuff like you would typically see on Netflix a little bit. It's got a really stark soundtrack. That's lots of little jaunty piano bits and stuff like that. So, watching that and then Moon Knight. One
okay.
more episode left.
I watched that today. I mean, superhero, we complain about it all the time. At least I do. I really don't want my hate to rub off on anybody, but, that was quite solid today. The new episode of Moon Knight where Oscar Isaacs are going on a internal spiritual journey through the land of the dead to kind of heal their past trauma. I was kind of touched, honestly, when, Isaac is doing really, really good work playing these two very different characters. You know what I was weirdly confused by? That they put Steven in the dark shirt and Mark in the white shirt. And I expect it to be the opposite way because Steven's the nice one and should be wearing the white shirt. And I kept getting that mixed up, but that's I don't know what that is. But anyway, I really enjoyed the episode a lot and was genuinely moved.
Yeah.
When we kind of learned the revelations about Oscar Isaac's past, I thought it got very dark for a Marvel show. We're dealing with themes of self-harm, abuse, like, and it was still tasteful. Like they didn't show
child
us anything
abuse, yeah.
too intense, but I can't recall Marvel getting grimmer than this. And I thought Oscar Isaac sold every bit of it. He's really tremendous.
Yeah. He feels like he's at the top of his game here. Like this is like a dream gig in terms of the material he's getting as an actor. And he's just nailing every scene. Yeah. It was dark when we get into talking about child abuse, like I can't think of another Marvel show or movie that ever came even remotely close to that. So yeah, I think, you know, I talked about this in my review of this that's up on winteriscoming.net. I feel like the show really leaned into its strengths this episode, like Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke, who was in this one a bit too, their acting has just been like next level good. And the Egyptian mythology has been cool. And they were like, here's a whole episode of that. Don't worry about plot. We'll get there next week. Just enjoy Oscar Isaac plumbing the depths of his character. So yeah, I loved this episode.
Cool. And Christian, we're not quite done, but I don't think that we're going to spoil anything. I think we've done a very nice job of not doing that. I also say, this is not a spoiler, but like also impressed, five of six episodes in, still no like real Marvel reference, still no real MCU reference. And I mean, like we did, sometimes I'm watching this show and I'm invested and enjoying it. And then it reminds me that it's about superheroes. Like, you know, there's some like, like glory shot of Oscar Isaac getting his Moon Knight finery on. And I'm like, oh yeah, right. I forgot about that. Which I think is a compliment. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. It, you know, it's a, this show could not be a Marvel superhero show and it would be just as good. Like the core of what's making this show good isn't that it's a superhero show. It's the psychological stuff he's going through, the adventure he's on, you know, the myth stuff. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, and if anyone in the chat knows better, like feel free to correct me, I think this was the first episode we got an MCU reference, when Towerette talks about the ancestral plane, which is from Black Panther. That's where T'Challa goes in Black Panther. They worship Bast, who's also part of the Egyptian pantheon. Mm-hmm. But that, like, that's super mild, and that's the only one I think they've had in the whole show so far.
I mean, and that's barely glancing, like, reference. It's not like, it's not like Anthony Mackie showed up and like it gave them a lesson or anything. That's very, very light. So yeah, I'm digging it. Didn't mind. I mean, you hate a list episode. I thought it was fine. And this one was really, really good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do at the end. Good for you, Moon Knight. And finally, shall we get to our actual lightning round? So we basically lightning round the news earlier, the CinemaCon news. And now we'll do the formal 20 seconds on the clock lightning round of other stories we couldn't get to in that long list of things we talked about earlier in the show. Are we ready?
Yep. Yes, this is a formal lightning round. Christian, formal, if you can see, we're done.
No
talking
more
Moon Knight. You can come finished. Back. Yeah, let's do this. I think I have to read this first one. You must have opinions about this.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't?
We have,
but I think that, right? Is that the way you have this set up?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Good guess.
Okay. Splendid. All right. Lightning round. Elon Musk buys Twitter.
Yeah. Woo. Okay. So Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, according to Forbes and Bloomberg, has bought Twitter for over $40 billion. I mean, wow. That's impressive. Just like, if you have that much money, you can just like, I'll just buy this company. Now, my big concern at the out front is that he says, you know, he's been saying like more free speech. I'm afraid it's going to translate to more hate speech, just like less curtailment. Okay, we're done, I guess.
That was a quick 20 seconds. While,
I felt like.
Yeah.
We're
all concerned.
Okay. But yeah, let's move on. I can do a whole episode on that. Daniel, Florence Pugh.
That's next week's show.
Well, it might be. We'll see. I doubt it.
Kidding. Sorry.
Florence Pugh will play Princess Irulan in Dune Part 2. That's cute.
Yeah, I think that's a great casting.
We
had heard rumblings this might be the case, and now it is seemingly officially the case. A production rap sheet with her name on it was going around. I think that's an awesome cast. I loved her in Black Widow and Hawkeye. Can't wait to see her in Dune.
Little Women. Yeah, she was great too. She's great in everything. She's excellent.
Oh, was she in that? Yeah, she's like Margot Robbie. Takes no prisoners.
She is. And I mean, that... Okay, we're done. Craig's on the favorite. Yeah, we can't go any further. Okay.
Okay,
hit me.
All right. Dan, Universal is splitting the Wicked movie based on the musical about the Wicked Witch of the West. They're splitting it into two parts.
So we talked earlier about like sometimes this is a good thing, like Endgame and Infinity War, Dune, somewhat. Sometimes the bad thing, Harry Potter, The Hobbit, Hunger Games. This is a bad thing. Look, I've seen Wicked on stage. It ain't that long, okay? You could do a movie about it. This reeks of opportunism to me. And I know that there's a book, it's not the exact same thing, but like the musical is what people want. Yeah. Give them the musical. That's pretty good. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've read the book. I had thoughts too, but we'll save them. It's a lightning round.
It's a lightning round. Okay. Daniel, Ayula Smart will play Avienda on The Wheel of Time season 2. Who dat?
Yeah, so Ayula Smart was in Killing Eve. She's playing Avienda, who is an Aiel spear maiden of the spear. So she is a warrior. She is extremely badass, a major character throughout the book series. So this is a major, major casting for Wheel of Time. Mm-hmm. We've been waiting for this one in particular. She's one of the last big major cast members.
Yeah, good for it. Hope that'll be around later this year, probably next year early. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christian, you're right that the fans are going good and bad responses. I mean, I think it's too early to say anything for sure, but yeah, I'm sure we'll revisit it at some point.
It's way too early to actually have an opinion on how well she'll be able, like, we don't know. I guess if you were a hardcore Killing Eve fan, maybe you know, but I am not. So I don't know what to expect. But speaking of Killing Eve,
yeah,
Luke Jennings, the author of the Killing Eve books, also disliked the series finale.
That's pretty funny, right? So, okay, Killing Eve, I haven't watched it, but the series finale aired. Everyone seemed to hate it because they killed off one of the two main characters who were an item. And it did kind of like, even from a distance, it's like, oh, that kind of feels like Barrier Gaze a bit, where it's like they get together and then one of them dies. And the author was like, that's stupid. That's dumb. They shouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that. It's kind of like a George R. R. Martin got out after Game of Thrones season 8 and said, like, that was terrible, which he does not, never once done it. I don't think he believes that. But it's funny. It's good times.
Yeah.
A lot of fast talking. Like
that buzzer's quick today. All right. Oh, here you go. This one's for you, I guess.
Do you want to switch them? Because I could do the Star Wars one to you and then the other one to me if you like.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Okay. All right. Daniel, you like Star Wars. Lucasfilm is reporting cutting down their Star Wars spinoff Andor about Cassian Andor from Rogue One down from 5 seasons to 3 seasons. What do you think?
The thing I was most shocked about was that they were reportedly planning 5 seasons for that show.
He's like
a relatively minor unknown character. That seems crazy to me. I feel like that's someone woke up and made a good decision. It's kind of how I feel about that. 3 seasons for a show about that guy is enough.
Christian timing us. Love it. Keeping us honest. Okay.
Thank you, Christian. All right. Dan, Carol exits the Carol Darryl Walking Dead spinoff, which I guess just makes it a Darryl spinoff.
Yeah, it's just a Darryl spinoff. This is just funny. The Walking Dead's ending. They have like a million spinoffs in production. One of them's going to be about Carol and Daryl, played by Melissa McBride and Norman Reedus. I mean, those are popular characters. And now just one of the two halves of the show is just like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I guess you can't film over in Europe where they're going to film. Oh, man. There's too many spinoffs. I don't think it's going to work. Aye, dog. That's cuter.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. What's the dog's name again?
This is Remy. He's coming to crash the podcast.
Remy. What kind of dog is he?
He is a corgi collie mix.
He's a collie mix. He is cute. Yeah. All right. Where were we?
Yeah. Oh. I think that's funny.
It is funny.
But
I have to recast her. Okay, the final one. All right.
That'd be so crazy.
Yes, that would be nuts. Zendaya is Carol. I think it'd be really, really funny. Okay.
All right. The last one.
This is the last one. On the witness stand, at the defamation trial Johnny Depp is suing his ex-wife Amber Heard for, he revealed that Johnny Depp wants to make another Pirates of the Caribbean movie, or wanted to before he was not allowed to because of rumors.
Yeah.
Summarize God, I don't that even situation. Know.
Yeah. Well, on the one hand, did we really need another Pirates of the Caribbean movie? Who cares?
No.
The argument. Yeah. I know he made the argument of he didn't get to send off the character properly, which is like, okay, if you were that attached to the character, you felt like there needed to be a proper ending, which I thought we got in Pirates of the Caribbean 3. Fine.
No, we didn't. Yeah, that thing is nuts. Oh my God. Again, I said this before. Elon Musk is a witness in that trial. So is Jason Momoa.
Think about the week that guy's having.
That's true.
Elon Musk buys Twitter on Monday, testifies in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial on Wednesday.
Jason Momoa will be there. Some other folk will be there. That is a circus. I feel bad leering at this personal drama, but man, it is very learable.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Question's right. I think that Paul Bettany may also be their vision. At least you're implying. Anyway, wait, an eventful show.
Paul Bettany's at the trial. What's happening?
Christian said vision. And I think I might've heard that vision played by Paul Bettany was going to be a witness. Although maybe he just said vision because he slapped his hand on the keyboard and happened to spell the word vision. I actually don't know.
Okay, that's fair. Either way, I'm intrigued.
I mean, Elon Musk is enough. T-stock crash like that relationship. Yes, I was right. Thank God. It's pretty wild. Anyway, maybe we'll cover that. God, I hope not. Or do I want to? I don't know. That's a tricky one. What we can guarantee, yes, is that we will be covering something every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Winter Is Coming Facebook page and also the Winter Is Coming YouTube page. You can also download Take the Black and podcast form wherever you get your podcast, be it Google Play, iTunes, or elsewhere. We will be back next Wednesday with more inexpert opinions that you didn't ask for. Goodbye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.